And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida, recording live on tape from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, and it's the day of Tim's. I'm joined by my two guests today, Mr. Tim Gaither, comedian, recently worked with, and my longtime friend, who I just blanked out on his name. I'm having like a host moment. Tim Hanlon, everybody. The Dope City.
Good to see you, Dougie.
Long time, man. It's been so long. I almost forgot your goddamn name, dude. Yeah, you ever do that? Do you ever host a show, and you know who the person is? You know them really well. Then just a moment of having to introduce them on the show. You're like,
yeah.
It happened to me on just last week. The host did it to me. We're in the back, and I get ready to go out to the showroom. He's in the green room smoking weed, and I looked at him. He was a good comic from Dallas, and he's just getting ready to smoke some weed. I said, don't forget my name, and he completely blanked on it. And I was like, you son of a...
That's what
happens. Funny, though. It's good.
That's what happens. You jinxed him, so you put that shit up there.
Yeah, totally, totally.
You just gotta take responsibility for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I saw it coming.
I did a podcast earlier and couldn't remember the word censorship. I'm like, you know, where they won't let you talk. You guys find it like censorship? I'm like, yeah, that one.
You censored yourself, yeah.
The last time that actually happened to me was at Tavolino's, our room, and Gene Harding. Yeah, we all know Gene Harding,
yeah.
You know, Florida comic. And I was about to introduce him, and the place was packed. And I'm like, yeah, and my good friend,
happened to me with Jerry Rocha, who I've known for a long time, and I just same thing, man. Just could not. It just wasn't there.
It's like we caught the Biden bug.
Started that.
Have you ever done that and just mumbled something incoherent?
Well, yeah, I learned that you could just say anything. You know, it's better than sitting there silently. Yeah, for sure.
Who's
looking
this butthole?
Yeah, that's fun.
I think the worst thing I ever did, I was opening for Kevin Nealon at the West Palm Beach Improv, and or hosting, I think, that show. And I came out and I said, let's hear it. And we and him and I were just talking about Norm MacDonald in the green room before we were talking. I had this discussion about him. And for some reason, when I went to say Kevin Nealon, I thought Norm MacDonald.
Oh, no.
And I go, hey, everybody, let's hear it from Norm MacDonald. But I put it out there like I was fucking around, you know, like, you know, guys, another satellite, you know. And, but it happens, man. Right? Yeah. Sometimes that happens to the best of us.
What are you going
to
do? What are you going to do?
What do you think that is? People call it a brain fart. People call it a old moment, you know. What would you guys blame it on?
I don't know. I used to abuse a lot of things. That might be why I do it. But lately I've like kind of struggled for words. I don't know if that should scare me or not, but I'm like, God, I know that word. And then it takes me to say it. And, you know, that's not good.
Yeah. That's hit me over the last couple of years. Same thing. Words that I know, people's names that I know. And it's so frustrating because you're conscious enough, you know, that you know the word. It's not something you're trying to invent, and it's just not there, man.
I've never been good with people's names. People introduce themselves to me all the time, and I immediately forget as soon as they tell me their name, and I feel like a dick about it. I've done all that word association and all that crap, and I can remember things that happened when I was like 7 years old better than I can yesterday.
Oh yeah.
That's just part of it.
I just don't pay attention that much anymore. I'm just in la-la land a lot of the times, man. It's just, and I think my brain's full also. I'm done learning shit. I'm
You're at your capacity?
Yes, 110%. I gotta cash out.
I'm trying to pour a big gulp into a thimble. It's nuts. Yeah, it happens all the time, man. And you're right, I'm like that too. I'm horrible with names. You know, I can remember... Like, I'll forget somebody's name, but I'll remember, hey, man, we met at the Molly Hatchet concert back in 87. you know, or some shit like yeah. that. But I can't remember the person's name for the life of me.
Yeah. Whatever your yes. name, you met back in the day.
Yeah. That's why you got to do the old, hey, buddy, what's up, pal? What's up, bro? You know.
Everyone's my buddy.
Yeah. And I think most of the woke people on this earth now would be happy with that, right? Because if we're not gonna recognize genders, then why should we even recognize names anymore? Let's just call everybody buddy, pal, chum, chief.
Yeah,
I don't know about chief.
Yeah, chief may not work. You know what I mean? Have you guys ever met?
No, I don't believe we have. Are you from?
No, Florida? I'm from Florida, but I've lived in LA for the last 5 years or so. I've seen you around. I know who you are. Actually, I think we might have. I think I met you in. You did the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga.
I did it before it was the Funny Stop. What was it called back in the day? It used to be a Happy Tree.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Isn't it owned by the same guy, Pete something?
Yeah, the weird Greek guy. Yeah.
I remember the first time I did Hilarities in Cuyahoga Falls all week long. One of the brothers, who I think is. There's Pete and Tony.
Yeah.
And I think it was Tony. He kept bringing me food all week. He's like, you try this. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, this guy is nice. He keeps bringing me food. And at the end of the week, he gives me a bill. And it's got all the crap on it that he's been giving me all week. And I'm like, dude, I didn't realize you were charging me for that. He's like, oh, I'm like, well, you didn't tell me that, you butthole.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to buy something, you should be able to choose. Right, I mean, if somebody hands you a plate, that usually means it's being given to you.
Yeah, that's an old school shakedown right there, for sure. Yeah, surprised he didn't give you a mixtape.
there was a bartender in Kansas City who did that to me. He brought this food, this Chinese food, and he was like, hey man, I thought you'd like this, and then I was like, oh, well, that was nice of you, dude. And then he goes, yeah, it was $11, and I'm like, I didn't ask you to get it, you dick. And then a few weeks later, he's like bragging in front of these girls, like, you remember when I brought you that food and you didn't even ask? And wasn't that nice of me? You know? And I'm like, yeah, and you charged me for it.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of takes the luster off when you're like, hey, I got this for you. It was $40.
we did the Orlando Improv one time. And, you know, I think it was an open tab, basically, as long as we don't go crazy. And one night it was really high. And the manager hands Matt the thing is, like, look, it's $400 or something like that. And he said, let me look at it. They were charging us, it was itemized, a bucket of water, $6 a bottle of water. And there's six of them. He's like, come, give me a break. You know, you put the waters on it. And then the bartender, the green room guy, did the same thing. He brought us a bucket of beer that somebody ordered and didn't want. He's like, you guys want this? We're like, sure. End of the night, there's $70 worth of beer on there and $40 worth of water that we didn't order. I was like, come on. They ripped it up. But I was like, give me a break.
Wow,
yeah, that's sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's an expensive green room stop. Jesus goodness.
Right?
I didn't know the Dope City Comedy Club comedy show was so fucking with so much divas.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? comedy club prices, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I usually don't get a bar tab at all. I don't drink anymore, but you know, some clubs will charge you, you know, like half price or whatever. And this guy charged me, he gave me a bill and it had like $11 worth of bottled waters on it. And I'm like, dude, I just headlined your club. I'm not giving you $11 on general principle. I'll tip you a bartender for giving me the water, but I'm not paying for bottled water. So
yeah,
I don't know how you guys it drives me crazy.
It's I got a tab a couple months ago for six. We did a full weekend. He gives me a $6 tab. I mean, just out of principle, just swallow the $6. I mean, give me a break. But
yeah, that is nuts. Yeah. That is crazy. Yeah, especially when I stopped working at a club because they charged me for the water. You know what I mean? It was like you had to choose between the clubs, or like geographically two clubs are in the same.
Yeah. And free water, pay water.
Let's see. One person
charged me. Wouldn't give me a $12 water buyout.
Yeah. Hey, listen, either give me a 401k or stop charging me with the water. It's amazing. So now I've known Tim a long time. We've worked together. He's been in Florida, do our podcast here for many years. And Tim, we just met, Gaither, we just met at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, yeah. Right? And it was interesting because then, you know, the Looney Bin, they put you in a house, you know, mm-hmm. It's not this little place. And I don't know what what Tim, like Tim, you know, he was the headliner, so he got the headliner room, which had a nice TV in it.
Yeah.
Right. And the feature room didn't have a TV. It was a nice room. And then the MC, Jay, I'm trying to remember his name, Jay. What's it?
Jay Mandium. He used to work at the Comedy Store.
Oh, I know Jay.
Yeah. He was hosting, and it was so funny because he showed up, and like he got all the guy got there, and he got all his, brings all his luggage in the room. Like about an hour later, he comes walking down with all the shit. I go, "Well, where are you going?" He's like, "Oh, I'm just going to go to a hotel. I need to use whatever." And he didn't tell me he was leaving. So next thing you know, I had the house to myself all weekend. Right. And nobody's telling me shit. I'm asking Tim, "Hey, Tim, are you going to come?" "Yeah, I might come by tonight and that." And I'm like, "Motherfucker, tell me you're going to come. I'm going to sleep."
You don't want to give up his option. Yeah.
Yeah. He left that shit open.
Yeah.
Are you talking about me? Do I sound like that?
Well, you know, I'm no Rich Little, man. You know what I mean?
Come tonight. Motherfucker, I don't sound that way.
It was a fun show, man. I remember the first night it was funny because, you know, in comedy, what I've learned is obviously I don't want to get political or anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, you try
not
to
you.
Not me. Well, not in comedy, dude. You know what I mean? I mean, on the other shit I do, and I was like, you know, and Tim comes out the first night and the fuck is so funny. He goes, "Hey, I forgot I don't want to embarrass you or do your voice probably again." But it was just so funny because it was like the election or I can't remember what it was. Like, it was just, there was a few people in the audience. You could tell who was red and who was blue in that audience, man. It was just so funny. And I go, "Oh, this is awesome, man." I'm just so glad. You know, I guess you get away with that in Little Rock, right? I mean, there's certain things you can get away with in certain cities that you can't in others.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the older I get and the longer I do it, the less I give a shit, you know? Like, I almost kind of, I don't like it when they're like, when they get that way, you know? But I don't know. In my internal dialogue, I'm like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. You know, like, I just... the crowds are much more sensitive than they used to be. And that's what I loved about that Little Rock show, especially the very first one. Do you remember there was that black girl sitting there and she goes, "I love white boys." And yeah. And I go, "You love white boys?" And she goes, "Yeah, I love white boys." And I go, "Good. White power." And she laughed her ass off.
Fuck yeah, she did.
And that's not, you know, these days, you can't always get away with saying that because my favorite kind of crowds are the ones who know that that's a joke and I'm kidding. I'm clearly not, you know, in the Klan or any of that bullshit. But these days, you have to be, you know, you have to be careful about that stuff just because people are so freaking sensitive anymore.
Well, I was beginning to wonder in about the first 10 minutes of your set. I was like, this fucking guy, this is the Grand Wizard. I'm not kidding. But you're right, man. I think that, you know, I mean, I was just reading today, it's not one of our topics yet, but I was just reading about Sharon Osbourne and what's going on with The View, how everybody's saying how, you know, we talked about it last show, but how the royal baby, you know, little Harry, what's his name? Archie, you know, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's child. Yeah. And I guess they're trying to accuse the royal family of being racist by saying, I wonder what kind of shade he's going to be. You know, I wonder how dark he's going to be. And I, you know, and somebody brought up a great point. I was watching the show and they're like, listen, even if you have a black couple and one's light and one's dark, they'll even say, I wonder if he's going to be dark. I wonder if, you know what I mean? They'll even say that. So we have, isn't it, we have gotten so sensitive, right? Like everybody fucks up every day. Everybody sins every day. But the minute you can point out somebody else or try to point out some shit with somebody else, that and they go and do it, you know, like they just want to do it.
Plus, I think people have forgotten what the word racism means, and now if you say anything, like, it doesn't have to be racist at all. It can be about race, and people are like, that's racist. And I'm like, no, being racist means you hate another person because of the color of their skin, not because you pointed out that black people like sweet soda or some shit like that.
Try to find a Diet Coke in the hood. You can't. It ain't happening.
I mean, you know, I don't know.
There's a difference. Isn't there a difference between stereotypes and things? Like, you're right. Because, like, listen, as a Latin man, you know, I you know, we hear that Latin time, black time. You know, my we were always late. Like, I was, you know, that was just part of our family. My mother, we used to have to put the clocks a half hour back just so my mother would try to almost be on time, and she still wasn't on time. Yeah. And that was just something. It wasn't like a, oh, how dare you? You know, people just got so fucking uptight about stuff. And you're like, you know, what's wrong?
Yeah.
I don't know. I miss all of that. I don't really pay attention to the couple of loudmouths here and there. We go all over the country. And like you said, he made the joke about the white power. I find more people will laugh at that stuff than people think. You know, someone will say that it's racist and they'll get upset. But in a comedy club, especially right now where you can only go to Arizona, Texas, Florida, and Oklahoma, it's about the only places that are open right now. People that are actually at the club are, I find them to be less uptight than what is portrayed right now. Because the loudmouths on the keyboards are pointing out, oh, that's racist, that's racist, that's racist. But most people that are out there, I don't know. I miss it.
Yeah.
I don't. Right now. You know, they're scared and all that shit, so they don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the crowds right now are fantastic. I love COVID.
Now, do you think it's because, like Tim said, he says he doesn't give a shit, so he's putting it out there, and there's no hesitation. I think when people, you know, I think when people hesitate, you know, like I have that, you guys know the joke. I have that joke that referenced wet back. You know, I asked my wife to get me a wet back, which is a wordplay on wet back. You know what I mean? And I used to, and based on, you know, when I went to the Northwest, you know, the Portland, Seattle area, I thought I would like soften that joke up and say, hey, my wife came home with a guy named Juan instead of Mexican. And my friend Frank Del Pizzo, comedian, says, fuck that. Mexican's a fun, you know, money. It's just a funnier joke when you say it that way. And after that, I didn't ever hesitate. No hesitate. Just came out, you know, and it crushes because hey, you know, it's funny. And who was I just listening to that was talking about racist jokes and stuff? And they were basically saying, look, if you're saying a joke that has race in it, but it's fucking funny, you know what I mean? It's funny. You know what I mean? If there's somewhat true, I mean, you don't want to be, you know, maybe, like negative, you know, I don't know if there's negative racism, positive racism. This is like Lou Gehrig's disease or fucking, you know, but you know what I'm saying? But you're right. There's a difference. You know, I had a situation at the Looney Bin in Wichita. I said something about Chinese and the guy got pissed. This Asian kid sitting in the front. And I go, are you Chinese? So after the show, he goes up to me, sure, hey, you're a racist. I go, why am I racist? He goes, because you call me Chinese. I go, well, fuck, dude, you got all pissed off when I mentioned the word Chinese. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know what I mean? And plus, so what? Turns out that guy was racist. He was Vietnamese. He doesn't like Chinese people.
Yeah. So exactly. That's the racist. If you had said, are you Chinese? Because I hate Chinese. That would be racist, you know? Yeah. But just asking if you're Asian, you know, like I asked a girl at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood one time. She was Asian, and I was like, what's your background? What's your ethnicity? And she's like, American, and everyone claps. And I'm like, you know what I meant, you asshole. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, be a dick about it. I'm just asking where your family's from. And clearly, you're not your family isn't from here. That doesn't mean I hate them for it. You know, it's so stupid to me.
Yeah.
Well, I think also, like when Tim said when you're in a club and you did the white power joke and you said everybody laughed, it's because the people in the room realize that obviously from the way you presented yourself up to that point, you're just making jokes. Now someone clips that, puts just the, you know, just the text or that one sentence, and they put that online, you lose the whole context of it. That's why I don't get caught up in all this, you know, ridiculous.
That's the problem with these social justice warriors. It comes down to like anytime they show a video, I don't care who's on it. You know, whenever they show a video, they clip that certain part and you're supposed to judge what's happened. You don't know what's happened before. You know, you don't know what happened, you know, how that got to that situation, you know, and everybody judges it. And you're like, well, I don't know. And then people are like, oh, what are you going to tell me? You want to hear what the guy said before? Well, yeah, I do kind of want to hear. I do kind of know, you know, because, you know. It's fucking crazy. Like I told the story many times in South Beach, my buddy and I were in South Beach one time, and this guy was like grabbing the girl and trying to pull her and shit. And these two other guys, you know, young guys come over like, hey, leave her alone and stuff. We just walk over watching and they're like, mind your own fucking business. And the guy's like, no, fuck you. Leave her alone. The girl's like, you know, well, long story short, you know, the guy, that's his wife. That's the guy's wife. And she was, you know, partying and shit. And she had kids at home. And the guy was telling us all the shit after. Because my buddy and I kind of beat the fuck out of the other guy who was trying to fight the other guy. But, you know, his wife was on drugs on a bin for 2 or 3 days. and left her family at home. He's trying to get his wife back home, and these fucking two hoopleheads come over to like save the fucking day, you know, trying to get laid. Mind your own business, you know what I mean? Do you think, you guys think people should mind their own fucking business a little more than they've been doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Concerning a lot of things, but, you know, like I'm not a mask guy. I don't wear masks. I take my son to the park and I don't put a mask on him. He's only 2 years old and my wife doesn't wear one. And this guy the other day at the park, you know, and my son was touching his son, not hitting him or anything, just like patting him on the back, you know, 2 year old shit. And the guy's like, "Don't you touch our son." And I'm standing far enough away that I couldn't understand exactly. So I got a little closer and I heard him say it again. He's like, "Don't you touch our son." And I'm like, "Hey, buddy, he's two, you know, like 2 year olds touch other kids." You know, he's like, "You're not being responsible. You're being disrespectful and all this shit." And I'm like, "Listen, I'm not going to give you a lecture on the fact that there's no proof that these things work at all anyway, but he's 2 years old. He doesn't have coronavirus. If he did, we wouldn't bring him to the park. You just fuck off, you know, like you sound like a CNN talking head right now. Like, you're not being responsible. Like, you're a dick. You don't know what you're talking about."
Where was this at, Tim?
This is at the park by my house. I live in close to Redondo Beach, California. I guess. I used to
live in Redondo.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You know, that or when you're driving down the street, last few days I'm driving and people are walking with masks in the street and I'm like, by themselves, I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
you know, you can't. And I the other day I got so, I slowed down. I rolled down the window. I was driving a 1972 Comet, it's a Buick Skylark, and I rolled down the window and I go, "Hey, lady, take the fucking mask off. You're outside, for God's sakes. Get a fucking break."
I do it all the time. I go jogging and I'll pass these kids, you know, I like to run at night and there'll be kids walking along, like healthy young teenagers that this basically doesn't even affect. And they'll be walking by themselves with a mask on. And I get kind of fired up sometimes when I run. I'm like, "Don't buy into the bullshit. Trust God. Don't live in fear." And I just keep running. And they look at me like, what's wrong with that guy? But I'm like,
well, that's odd behavior. I don't have a problem with. I kind of like having the mask on. I don't know if it has any scientific proof or whatever. I just like being in public with a mask on. And my brother, he'll go crazy. Like, the thing is, if I got to put it on, and I know I'm driving 2 minutes to the gas station and then to someplace else, I'll get back in the car and leave it on. And my brother loses his fucking mind. He's like, "That mask on." It doesn't bother me at all. If I'm going in some place, I know I have to have it on when I get there. You know, if you're going into a restaurant or something, you're going into a 7-Eleven, you got to have it on. Just put it on, and I'll just leave it on in my car for 3 minutes. And if I'm riding with my brother, he loses his damn mind. He's like, "You're being mind controlled." I'm like, "It's okay. I'll survive the next 4 minutes with the mask on in my car."
Have you ever done that when you're? I've done that by myself. Like, I wear the mask, right, and I come in from somewhere, and I still have it on. I'm like, I gotta get the shit off. It's like somebody's gonna see me with the fucking mask on. Think I'm an idiot.
Yeah, no, it doesn't really affect me.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just nuts. And I mean, I'm just sick of being so judgmental. You know, mind your own business. I think that's the thing. It's like, if people are worried about themselves, you know, more, you know what I'm saying? Then I think people worry about other people more than themselves, because it's easier to worry about somebody else than it is yourself. Right. You know, I mean, I just think people, it's just easier to judge someone else. You don't want to judge yourself. You know, don't tell me what to fucking do, but you're going to tell somebody else what to do nowadays.
Fixing other people's problems is way easier than fixing your own. You know, I can tell other people what to do all day long and I'll probably be right. But then I'm like, well, apply that to your own life. I'm different. You don't understand.
It's a lot easier to look out than to look in, for sure. Yeah.
It's like going through a breakup, you know. Everyone who's going through a breakup thinks that they're the only one who's ever done it, you know.
Yeah, that's true, man. No, I love that expression. No one has a monopoly on adversity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're all going through shit. You know, that's the thing I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing about people's fucking sob stories. You know what I mean? I'm just everybody, like, you know, you read stories about a meteorite the size of the fucking Golden Gate Bridge that just missed the earth. You know, could you imagine you're sitting there yelling at somebody, "You better wear your fucking mask." Meanwhile, a fucking asteroid starts barreling to there. Put your mask on, dumbass. You know, let's get things straight. That was funny. That I think that was the comment you made, Tim, in Little Rock when you went this fake pandemic.
I go, how about a nice round of applause to wait staff for everybody risking their lives for you during this fake pandemic?
Well, I don't know how real it is. I mean, when I was in LA, I barely left the house, but shit, we've been on the road a lot lately. I've flown a lot and I haven't got it, man. I don't know.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I don't believe it's what they're making it out to be by any means. And I think for the majority of people who get it, it's not that big a deal. And you know, they've done all kinds of studies that they won't let anybody share. You know, a lot of it's just there's like, I trust the science. And I'm like, well, so do I. That's why I've listened to this doctor and this doctor and this doctor and this scientist. And they all say this is bullshit and they're not getting the vaccine and all this stuff. And if you put that on Facebook, they'll at least, at the very least, they'll censor that shit. I don't know if they'll take it completely, but sometimes they will.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've said that to people. They're like, I'm like, why should I ruin my life over a virus that's 99% survival, you know, as a survivor rate. You know, I had it, you know what I mean? And you know, and somebody asked me recently, are you going to take the vaccine? I'm like, no. I'm like, oh, why aren't you going to take it? Are you, and that's the first thing. Here's the thing. The first thing is, oh, you must be a member of Q. I'm like, oh yeah, I can understand your deductive reasoning. Why the fact that I don't want to take a vaccine. There's a fucking million other reasons I don't want to take a fucking vaccine, but yours, that you think I'm a member of Q. You know, and here's the thing. I look at, there's a fellow, there's on Facebook, there was something, and there was a fellow comic, on Facebook, and they were posting shit, and they were like, and here's the thing, do you call people names, like in this situation, do you like call people fucking names, like there's a grown man, he's calling people names, you're Q, you're an idiot, you're this and that, and I go, dude, I go, what is the guy said, oh, he spelled him maroon, I guess there was a Bugs Bunny cartoon where he says, you maroon, you know, and this and that, and he goes, what, you're not into Bugs Bunny? I go, no, I stopped watching Bugs Bunny when I stopped calling people names, dude. You know, fucking, you know, when I fucking call people stupid for their own beliefs.
Yeah, you know, like you're never going to win an argument with somebody or even get them to see your point if you start calling them like, you libtard, you Trumpster, you know, like that kind of shit. Like you can't call someone a name and then expect them to listen to your point of view. It's never happened in the history of mankind. Like, no, that guy called me a dumbass. Maybe I should listen to him.
You know? I am a dumbass. He knows me well. And he makes a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody do that. That's fucking true, man. I that's a thing. You know, Tim knows I've gotten a lot of shit on Facebook, and I've calmed down.
A lot of shit.
I think I've calmed down though, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tim doesn't follow my shit anyway. He's too busy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's what gets people to quit. You want to be the most famous comic in the world? Be an asshole. Do something that people hate, and you'll be an overnight sensation. People click on the stuff that pisses them off. It's kind of weird.
Telling the truth these days is pretty unpopular, so that's all you got to really do.
Yeah, that might be a good point.
People off in 2021, that's for sure.
Why not? I think there will be a change. I think we'll see a change in the next few years, right, where everybody's like a virtue signaling and stuff until it's going to get to the point where people, I think we're going to swing. It's going to be like, fuck off, I'll do whatever the fuck I want. If I want to wipe dog shit on my face, I'm going to fucking do it. I don't care what you tell me how bad it is. I'm going to do what I want to do. Speaking of doing what you want to do, I don't know if you heard the news, but Matthew McConaughey is considering a run for governor. All right. Would you vote for Matthew McConaughey?
Well, I don't live in Texas, so it doesn't affect me. But yeah, why not? I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about his politics, so I can't say whether I would or not, to be honest with you.
Well, he's one of those Hollywood guys that was kind of conservative. Very one of the few people in the Hollywood elites that admitted to being conservative, right? You know, Joe Rogan got heat, right, when he came out and he says he wasn't going to vote for Biden because he was old and decrepit, you know, you know, you know, and that, you know, you gotta, I love those, the people who are above that cancel culture, you know, that's the thing, you know, you made it big when you can't be canceled. You know, how many times did somebody try to cancel Joe Rogan for some of this shit? And he doesn't give a, like, he's still
got his own network. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the way to be. And, And because sometimes when all this happens, you can't help but worry about what somebody's going to think. Right. And that's why when you were doing that stuff the first night you were on stage, I go, oh man, this is awesome. This guy doesn't give a fuck what anybody thinks. You know what I mean? And I was sitting there going, I wonder if I can tell this joke. I wonder if I can tell that joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people still dig that. They still dig a guy that will just say whatever he wants to say. You know what I mean? There's, like I said, there's a people that get tight around it, but a lot of people still want, they like to be shocked a little bit or not be so coddled, especially in a comedy club. You know, I mean, Joe Rogan has a huge amount of fans. Howard Stern has a huge amount of fans because he pushes the envelope, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what's, especially right now when they start censoring fictional characters, you know, it's like, how are you going to write a movie where everyone's nice to each other? You know what I mean? How are you going to write a part for a bad guy?
Yeah. Well, for a white guy, I talk a fair amount about race in my show, and there's some stuff in my act that I used to like if the show wasn't going well, I could bring up this certain joke about race and it would always get a laugh. And now it's like, totally hit and miss. And I think that's because of the last few years of the news telling us every day what a racist country we are and all that shit. I'm like, how can you say we're so racist? We had a black president who had a 70% approval rating in the beginning. So maybe this isn't the Klan haven that you think it is.
Yeah, that's the part that's disheartening about the way Americans are portrayed right now, especially where it's so much, you know, this racism is so emphasized right now. And it's like, you got to look at it, just numbers alone, a lot of people that voted for Obama voted for Trump. You know what I mean? Just on numbers alone, there had to have been 6-7 million people that voted for Obama that wound up voting for Trump. And it doesn't make every one of them, they didn't automatically join the Klan. You know what I mean? There's a lot of Trump voters that aren't the most racist people in the world. And as long as the country's been divided like that for the last 4 years, where it's portrayed everyone that voted Republican is the worst person on earth, it's like, it just doesn't make sense.
Trump got more minority votes than any Republican candidate since 1960. And, you know, a lot of the people on the left or whatever you want to say, they'll bag on those people like, oh, they hate themselves or they're an Uncle Tom or they're this or that. And I'm like, that is just as off as calling them something racist. You know what I mean? Like to just decide that they can't vote a certain way because of the color of their skin. How do you not see that that's racist, you dumbass? You know, yeah. But they don't. They're just like, no, I'm on the right side of it. CNN told me I was. Like,
yeah, it's amazing how, you know, how people like to label. And I mentioned this to somebody once. Labeling is basically a racism. You know, you're trying to quantify, you know, somebody or just sum them up to a one or two little aspects of their persona. And, you know, why would you do that? You know, it just doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? You know, why am I not getting a vaccine? You know, well, because I'm not a member of Q. No, I'm not a, you know, I'm not an anti-science guy. You know what I mean? I had it. You know what I mean? And like you, I've been all over the place. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, and you know what? If I had it and the way I had it, I'm not going to put that shit in me. You know what I mean? If I don't need to. I never took a flu shot until this year. I mean, everybody says you get your flu shot. I never took a flu shot. You know, I took one this year in November. I got a shot the first time in years. So it's not like I'm this. I just don't. You know what I mean? I'm a self-preservationist. You know what I mean? So if you think the vaccine is going to save my life, you would think I would take a vaccine. So if I'm a self-preservationist, you know what I mean? When I go to a gas station at night, I don't go right to a park and get my gas. I drive around the damn thing. You know what I mean? To make sure nobody's hiding behind a bush that's going to try to rob me and shit. You know, just me. You know what I mean?
I've never done that.
No.
Dougie's got doomsday prepper written all over him.
I got a sack of potatoes in the back of my car in case I get stuck and a gallon of water. No, but I mean, you know, listen, yeah, I
you fit the mold for Q a little bit, Dougie. You,
I'm kind of a Q. You think I'm a Q?
You fit the mold a little bit.
I mean, my face looks like a Q. I've gained so much weight. Well,
back to what you were saying, it's like if you bag on Biden, people just automatically assume like, oh, you're a Trumpster. It's like, no, I just think Joe Biden's a dipshit. It's got nothing to do with Donald Trump or anybody else. How come you can't just call it like you see it anymore, you know, without deciding what you are?
It goes the same way the other way, too, though. If you said anything, if you called out Trump or anything stupid he said, automatically you were in love with Hillary Clinton. And it's like, not exactly, man. You know,
yeah.
Same thing. Like, I don't like Biden either. I would still say, I would call out Trump for the dumb things that he would say. You know, it doesn't mean I'm not a liberal at all. You know, but I would just look at.
I said, has Trump ever said anything dumb?
Well, he was misquoted a lot.
He was coyfied a few times. I will say this. I voted for Trump. I'm Republican. But that was the one thing I say. Just admit when you fuck up. You know, just admit it. Don't want to make excuses for it and shit. That's like in life, right? I mean, if you just own up, you know what I mean? And I came from a sports background. You played sports in the soccer field. You screwed up. Hey, my bad. You know, my bad. Sorry, everybody. You know what I mean? People, but I think that's almost where we're at. I think people are so fearful of looking stupid, you know, looking inadequate and failing that they will not admit when they fuck up. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, it's almost like a comic who thinks they kill every time, right? When they go on stage and you're like, do you understand, you understand what fucking killing is? You know what I mean? You know?
I used to know a guy in Kansas City that always talked about how he killed, and then then somebody told me he had a hearing problem, and I'm like, oh, well, that's why he can't hear how bad he's doing.
Was he blind?
He just cranked the hearing aids up to 12. It sounded like he was murdering.
Or turned it all the way down and just lived in a empty land.
Or one of his comedy buddies put a laugh track in his ear thing. Yeah. It's like, I'm killing everywhere I go. I go to the grocery store, people are laughing their ass off at me. You know, we talked about the hypocrisy of certain things, right? They're canceling Pepe Le Pew. They're canceling some of these Dr. Seuss books. They're canceling a lot of this shit, like as if, you know, parents aren't able to explain things to people. Like, in other words, if your kid's going to read Dr. Seuss book, you know, and you see a picture, because somebody sent me the picture of the Chinese, you know, the resemblance of a Chinese person in the Dr. Seuss book. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's a cartoon. You know, it's almost caricature-like. You know what I mean? What did you want him to do? Did you want to put him in a regular suit to not just, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, the guy's got the fucking teeth and he's got the fucking hat and a bowl of rice and he's running with those shoes. And, you know what I mean? I mean, I get it. But then somebody, I forgot who it was, somebody on Facebook put a picture of a Chinese artist who basically made a painting of a Chinese guy. And you're like, it's kind of fucking similar. You know what I mean? But then, you know, this weekend, we had the Grammys, right? And everybody's posting what happened with Cardi B and what's her name? The Megan Thee Stallion. And they're scissoring on stage. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sorry I missed it. I would have watched, you know. Yeah. But, you know, somebody posted, like, I'm watching this with my daughter, Alex Elkin, out of San Francisco area. He's, I'm watching this with my daughter. My daughter's asking, Daddy, what are they doing? And I'd be like, they're scissoring. Okay, now mind your own business. Get daddy a tissue box. You know, you don't watch that. You know, and here's the topic. Do you guys, I mean, how long will it be before these award shows are gone?
They've been gone from my house for a long time. I haven't watched one in forever. You know, I used to watch the, Best Picture and all that stuff, but they just take so freaking long, you know, getting to the part that I give a shit about, that I never have gotten into them very much.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about one for the self congratulatory festival. I have no interest in that one. And I don't know if you guys saw who won the Grammy for Best Comedy Album.
No,
see,
no.
All right, I'll give you the nominees. It was Bill Burr, it was Jerry Seinfeld, Jim Gaffigan, Patton Oswalt, and Tiffany Haddish. You want to take a shot in the dark at who won?
Tiffany Haddish won.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't heard her album. I don't know how long she's been doing comedy, but I mean, she beat out some pretty heavy hitters this year.
Yeah. I haven't heard any of their albums, but
yeah.
Amongst those hitters. So you think there may have been pressure, you know, because these award shows, like, we need more representation from the minority community, and you think maybe they, who knows? I mean,
I don't know. It's hard to comment on it, like, without sounding like an asshole.
Right.
It's just when I saw it, my first reaction was, it feels like they're trying to do something there. And God bless her. I'm sure she's a sweetheart, and I've never heard anything but good things about her. just when I saw that lineup and then she won, I was like, okay. But again, I'm speaking out of ignorance. I know that I haven't heard those. I saw the Bill Burr special, but I didn't see the other albums. But
if that is the case, you know, out of all those other albums and all those other talent, I definitely want to now hear that album. I would definitely like to hear that album because I would expect a lot out of it. Here's the problem when you do things like that to the comedy community. If in fact, let's say that potential thesis is somewhat accurate, right? Like, all right, maybe there was some favoritism, right? If in fact somebody's going to get that album that's never listened, I got the best comedy albums out there. I'm going to go get it, and they listen to it, they're like, oh. You know what I mean? And then their friend brings over a Jim Gaffigan album or Seinfeld, whatever, and they're like, holy shit, who the fuck voted for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like these comedy clubs, it's almost like a comedy club, you know, that they save money and they get local headliners or they don't, you know, they don't bring in really good talent. And somebody goes to a comedy show. That's always been the comedy club's concerns about the way we have our own shows. When a comic book's his own show, that's why they would get pissed at like these local rooms developing, because somebody goes to see a comedy show and it's like eight open micers stretching 15 minutes each. You know, you're like, oh, this is comedy. You know,
I could. Well, I'm friends with Tiffany. I didn't realize she won a Grammy until my friend told me today, but I didn't, when he told me that she won, I didn't realize that it was, I thought she did some musical thing. I thought the Grammys was only about music. I didn't realize that they did comedy albums and shit like that.
Yeah, no, it was for regular comedy album. It was up against like Bill Burr. The one for Burr was, it said Paper Tiger, which was the same title as his video stand up. So I guess it was just the audio version of it.
Speaking of Bill Burr, did you, he caught, this is amazing, he catches heat because he ends up doing a presentation, and it's kind of funny because, I mean, let's face it, Bill Burr's funny. You talk about somebody who doesn't give a shit what the fuck he says. Yeah, you got to love this guy because there's a guy that's past being canceled. He's another guy they're trying to cancel, and they're trying to cancel because he stirred some controversy by stating feminists are going nuts because he's announcing a Latin album, you know, a music album. Why do you have a white guy...
You gotta have Ricky Martin to give it away.
Why wouldn't you get a guy, Spanish guy, you know, or maybe have George Lopez if they're gonna have a comic giveaway? You know what I mean? Like, there's gonna be somebody who's gonna judge that. So he called it out when he was up there because I'm sure there's some. And he seems to have, like, a few weeks ago back, he said something. He was talking about when he did Saturday Night Live. You see the thing when he did Saturday Night Live? And he was talking about women and shit, you know? And so it goes against, you know, it's like these women you got these fucking women are going to probably say, hey, why they have a white guy giving away a fucking Latin, you know, album thing? And people are pissed about that. You're like.
And if you are one of those people that gives a shit that a white guy's giving away a Latin award, maybe you're the racist.
Yeah.
You know, why do you give a shit? Just let whoever give away the award. If we're all supposed to be one human race, then what the fuck does it matter?
Yeah, why?
I think that was his point. He was trying to make fun of people that were upset about that. Exactly. You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's eventually going to turn. I think people are going to get a little tired of it. Like you said, I think it's going to become, people are going to restart feeling it. Like, oh, this isn't right. You know, this doesn't feel right that we're doing it. You know, and you know, my opinion has always been, look, do you really expect racism to be gone? You know what I mean? Do you really expect, you know, and
ain't going to be in my house.
I mean, well, I'll tell you this, like younger kids, it's a two-sided thing because younger kids are way more open-minded, I think. But then on one side, they're more open-minded. We're all one race. We're all one gender. But on the other side, now they've grown up with a label for every single thing.
Yeah.
It's like, which way are we going to go? Are we going to bring everybody together? Is everyone then going to have their own group, their own, you know?
Yeah, because if you think about it, we're all like, and that's happened only because things have gotten better, right? You know, years and years ago, like, you know, I come from a Latin family, you know, so my father used to say, you know, for our family's from Spain, you know, so, but he would refer to, let's say, people from Central America as like Indian Spanish, you know, and even that, but people say that was bad. He goes, no, it's not. It's basically, when you think about it, it was the merger of those folks, like the settlers coming from Spain, you know, coming in there. To an indigenous population and mixing with it. So why would that be racist when you're actually saying it is a mix of Indian, you know, indigenous people and Spanish? So it's kind of an Indian Spanish, you know what I mean? When you think about it, it's not like, why would you, it's in the ears of the person that's listening. It's the message they're hearing, right? Like you said, sometimes it's the message they're hearing when they say, hey, that's racist. I'm like, why is that racist? You know? That's interesting. For some reason, I hope.
We okay?
Well, I want to make sure last week we had an issue with our feed. If that's the case. Yeah, something happened with it again.
Did you get a chance to talk to Tiffany since you won, Tim? You said you're friends with her?
Yeah, I am friends with her, but no, I haven't actually. I haven't talked to her in a few months, actually.
Okay.
No, it was. What was it? Wasn't it like this weekend?
Yeah, there was this Sunday.
I think it was Sunday night. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I saw a video of her. I guess she's filming like a TV show. It was a pretty cool moment. The producers on the TV show let her know that she was actually taping when they found out she won. So the producers like came in her earpiece and let her know that she won. It was a pretty cool moment.
That's awesome. Anyway, so that's we'll do this. By the way, don't worry if you are listening. We'll on the podcast. We'll have everything, and let's hope that Chris, our producer, figures out what happened. But last week that happened. 40 minutes into the show, the power went out at his house, so we lost the live feed. And I was just I've been watching it on my screen, and it was gone. So either way, well, our listeners got to watch. Well, we got about 50 minutes into it anyway. So
well, his chair's still there on his feed. His light's still on.
We're not live anymore right now.
I don't think so. I'm looking at it, and the feed's gone for some reason.
Are you doing it on Zoom? Because I saw something like they were going to start cutting people off at 40 minutes. Is that true or not?
Well, what I'm worried about is what I think may have happened is since he's not doing it from his studio, that he may not have used his, because we have the professional one where you can just go on and on. So you may have called that out on that. And if that's the case, what sucks, because now the recording is ended. Because even if, let's say we lost a feed, at least the Zoom meeting is still recording. You know what I'm saying? All right. So we'll edit back and then we'll just do the podcast aspect of it one way or the other. All right. Well, usually we do our segment where the news is a joke. And I'd like to just share some stories with you guys and let's try to make fun of them.
All right.
Says, I love people. 91-year-old police officer still patrolling in Arkansas with no plans to retire. 91-year-old cop.
Yeah. I read about that. He's actually from Camden, Arkansas, where I was born. That's where he's a cop at, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you think this is... Now, why would somebody... Either this guy's got a really ugly wife. Right? Like, what... You know, I mean, who's like... And I was going to say earlier that Drew Brees announced that he's going to retire, right, this year. And that's got to be hard, right? Like, do you... Do you think there'll be a day where you retire from comedy? And if you did, why would you?
I think it's different for comics because, like, we can just ride this. We don't have to win the Super Bowl every year to be okay in comedy. You can go 8-8 in comedy and still be fine. I think Drew's set the bar so high for himself that if he's not playing at an elite level, he knows it's done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm already 50. I think you can keep going for a while in comedy, especially if you're still having a good time. I don't see any reason to. If you're still relevant, you're still keeping up with your act and stuff. I wouldn't want to be like some of these older guys I've seen, especially down in South Florida, where you would see some of the guys come through town that've been doing it for 40 years, and they're doing Chef Boyardee jokes and. Talking about Ronco fishing pole ads and stuff like that. No, I have no interest in doing that. I don't want to be talking about Cardi B 30 years from now, that's for sure.
Don't worry, nobody will be, buddy.
Yeah, nobody will be.
She's got 15 minutes and the clock is ticking, right?
It's funny you say that. Like, turnover material, somebody asked me about a particular comic. I'm like, what makes you say this person hasn't turned over their material? I said, well, they're doing a joke about tennis balls on antennas, car antennas. I'm like, when's the last time when's the last time you saw a car with an antenna?
Yeah. You know what I
mean? They all have the moldings on them now or on the windows. You know, nobody has a fucking antenna on their car anymore. But I'm guessing But if you were to retire, like maybe the travel, right? I mean, the travel could be a pain in the ass, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Or you're just done. Like you can't, like, you're right. I can't imagine. I've seen people, you know, they're touring comics 30, 40 years and they're doing the same 45 minute set pretty much.
Yeah.
That's gotta be brutal. How often do you turn over material, Tim?
You know, I eventually just get tired of doing something and I throw it out of my act. Like, I was happy with Little Rock because there was a good 15 minutes that I used to do that I did not do at all one show, and any of the shows rather, and I was happy with that. So to answer your question, I don't necessarily turn it over. I just phase it out, and then I replace it with something else, you know.
Yeah.
But I did this thing at the Laugh Factory a few years ago, and you know they called it a special or whatever, and actually, I sound like I'm name dropping, but I talked to Bill Burr after I did it, and he goes, congratulations. Now do it. Now write another one, you know? And I was like, fuck, can I just enjoy this? You know, but I never just completely scrap my stuff. I just kind of phased most of it out, you know, because I still go places and get paid, and I can't just be just workshopping the whole time. I'm getting paid to do this shit. So, I don't know if I answered your question very well, but as often as I can. It was hard during this pandemic because people are like, oh, I bet you got a lot of new material. And I'm like, yeah, if you think Groundhog Day is funny.
Yeah. It wasn't as much inspiration, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, other than the masks and politics and shit, which is going to divide your audience, there wasn't a lot of new stuff to talk about. I mean, I have a kid. That was, you know, a lot of stuff funny happened with him. But most of that is centered around poop. I don't want a complete act to be about is my kid shitting himself all the time.
I remember that one. You're right. And you're right. I'm like that too. It's like there's jokes that I've been telling. Like, I still do my Asian white bit, but it's much different than it was 3 or 4 years ago. You know what I mean? There's newer stuff in there, and there's some of the things are still in there. You know what I mean? And you're right. And turn it, you know, just keep building on it and building. Like you said, but here's a funny thing. Recently, and Tim Hanlon, years ago, remember when you and I talked about going back, starting doing open mics?
Mm-hmm.
Remember as there was that period, the old Catskill Comedy Club, Fort Lauderdale Comedy Club?
Yeah.
And I stopped going to open mics and I just started going. I pulled out my old book and I started pulling old bits out, you know, that never really worked.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it works. You start, you know, you have a new eye on it, you know, a new view of it, you know, a new feel for it. And you just start doing bits that never did before. It never really took off.
And sometimes you can have a joke that you've been doing for years and you hang on to it, even though it doesn't get the best laugh or whatever, because you know there's something better to it. And then one night you'll just say it the way you've meant to say it for 10 years and all of a sudden it kills. And you're like, yeah, I knew that's why. And it sucks that people come to a show and they think they've seen that joke. But I'm like, no, you can't see something more than one time for the first time. That makes sense. You know, so they'll come back and be like, I've seen that joke before. And I'm like, nah, you've seen a version of that joke. This is better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Absolutely. That was good. That was a good topic. Florida man pulls out dank gummies instead of his ID after nearly hitting a gas pump, deputy say. Florida man stories. You love these, Tim.
I saw that article, and you know what pissed me off about it? It said he nearly hit a gas pump. How else do you get gas? I've nearly hit every gas pump I've ever pulled into. You're only a foot away. What was he, 8 inches? I don't. What alerted anybody out of that? and then the cop said he was trying to help him. Were you trying to help him when you showed up?
Tim is a little anti.
Hey, this guy nearly hit. Yeah, I am a little bit anti cop, but I just like the fact that he nearly hit the gas pump. We need to call the cops over here. Like, well, are you calling the cops on every person that's got gas today?
Well, they also said like 500 milligrams on the edible, and I'm like, Jesus, where's this guy shopping for pot? 500 milligrams.
Yeah, and you look at his mugshot. He looks like he took all of it.
He was definitely messed up for sure. Yeah,
he was fucking high.
And then the whole article goes through how he had this bag of gummies and that bag of gummies and almost everything, and he was charged with possession of marijuana and cocaine. It's like they never mentioned cocaine in the whole article. It's
That's
just
right.
Funny that he had gummy bears on him.
Which is really the only illegal substance when you think about it.
I mean, if you're a cop and you're arresting a guy for having weed gummies in his pocket, I mean, come on, man.
It is kind of stupid though. Like when you go to pull out your ID and you. That's funny. Yeah. I mean, who has
two pockets, bro? You got your gummy pocket. You got your ID pocket. Come on, man.
That's right. And never put your cocaine with your cash. Because you'd hate to be sitting there going to the store, only getting a bag of cocaine falls out on the counter at 7-Eleven.
Never once have I been like, is that my license or a bag of weed?
You'll find out.
Texas man drove BMW dealership loaner car to rob bank, tried to use the stolen money to buy the BMW. In other words, I'm going to take this car for a test drive over to the local bank.
I love that, actually. I love that article. That guy's kind of my hero now. What cracked me up is how they said he came back to the dealership waving his money around. Like, oh, my God. You know, make it rain, you know. Yeah.
Let's get them leather seats. Let's get that upgrade.
And it was only like $3,000. He's buying like a $50,000 car. You know what I mean?
Well, they said he asked for $100,000, and he showed up with three and five. So he showed up with eight.
Yeah.
Did he go on a spread spree before he got back?
I think he asked for $10,000. That part I was a little disappointed in. I'm like, you're going to rob a damn bank. Rob a damn bank, man.
Well, most teller drawers don't have more than $3,000 or $4,000 in each of the drawers. I probably shouldn't be giving away these bank secrets. Yeah. But back when I used to work at a bank, they said, don't tell anybody about the dye packs and shit. You know what I mean? But usually there's not more than $6,000-$7,000 in a drawer. And if they do, the tellers are always supposed to keep that shit cleaned out because, you know, they get robbed. How much you have in there? $12,000. Shit. Uh-huh. Yeah, they get fired. That is great, right? I need a BMW.
I love it. So I
can go rob a bank, man.
I didn't know that you can just go to a dealership and they just let you take the BMW on your own.
Yeah.
That's another weird thing. Like they just let that guy drive off with a loaner BMW.
And here's my point. If he's going to go rob a bank, why the hell did he just rob the car?
And then he took the car back to buy it? None of that makes sense. This guy doesn't think things through at all.
Not the brightest.
He already had the car.
Not the brightest criminal. Teacher convicted of pouring liquid nitrogen on student's groin in Illinois. First of all, if I'm a student and my science teacher says, lay on the ground, Doug. I'm like, no, dude, that's okay. You know what I mean?
Did you watch the video?
Yeah. And the kid fucking.
Culpable parties here, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And why is he pouring it on his pecker? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Well, I don't think he meant to, but at the same time, it's like, dude, you didn't see the writing on the wall there, what could happen, pouring liquid nitrogen on someone. And
he said, I meant to pour just a little. Pour this whole thing out. How much liquid nitrogen can you take on a 16-year-old's chest? It's like, what kind of plan is that guy? I don't know.
He was trying to kill the Terminator.
The jury took 4 hours on the deliberation. I'm like, what took so long? It was stupid.
Yeah.
Where did that take? Where was that?
Illinois.
Okay. I thought it was more normal up there.
Science teachers are always the weirdest. Like, if you're thinking back to school, who was your weirdest teachers?
I mean, it's definitely science teachers for sure.
Yeah. In psychology or philosophy or psychology, because psychiatrists, you know, there are always these counselors that couldn't get regular work. So they started teaching psychology and shit, you know, and they would try to like in the middle of the class, they try to like, you know, give you, you know, an examination and shit, you know.
I didn't take any of those gay classes.
Hey, what you got wrong with gay there, Tim? Maybe I like gay classes. This is how you live. I just pissed off somebody, I'm sure.
Oh, boy. We're not live anymore. It doesn't matter.
I think we are.
Okay.
Our producer, has just got back from taking a bath. Looks like on our screens. Are we live, Chris? Are we still live on Facebook? Because not on my Facebook channel.
Yes, we are.
Really?
Oops.
I'm watching it now, yeah.
You watching it on Facebook?
There it is.
Oh, my God. Go. That's awesome. Well, I don't know why it turned off on mine then.
You guys probably got real loose with the conversation, thinking it was offline.
Oh, yeah, we started calling people out and shit. All right, that's good. I'm glad we didn't lose it. Hey, everybody's worried about J-Lo and A-Rod breaking up.
Heartbroken.
Yeah.
Hardly slept last night.
Here's the thing. I can't stand, you know, some of this Hollywood shit. Like, do I need to hear about everything Chrissy Teigen does? Why is she getting so much press? Why is Chrissy Teigen, why is this woman who's talentless? Sorry, I love John Legend. I love him as a musician. I think he's great. You know, the last song I try to sing to my wife, I love that love song he sings. But Chrissy Teigen is just so annoying. I mean, she has three kids, and she lost one kid, a miscarriage, like last summer. And we're all supposed to hear about her woes. I never had any kids. You know, no one's fucking worried about me woeing that I don't have any kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you have three kids, you lost one.
I mean, you know. That's the ground you're going on.
Look, you know.
You got three kids.
Four ain't bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of greedy trying to have a fourth kid anyway. Stop it.
And like, how dare you? How dare you? You know,
in this world?
World population growing, food shortages, scarcity of fucking all kinds of stuff, and you're going to have another kid.
Or was she a model?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
and now she judges a comedy show.
Yeah, she judged that thing, which is, what was it, on NBC, that Orlando.
Orlando was on.
Yeah. Orlando was on there, right? And Siddiqui won, I think Siddiqui won. And that, and she was, come on. I mean, I don't know. She was horrible on that.
I don't watch TV.
You just don't want to say anything, Tim. You're an LA guy.
Oh, I don't want to be on Chrissy Teigen's blacklist. No.
hey, you said blacklist.
John Legend come after me? No.
How dare you say blacklist? How dare you? At any rate, so when you have a nickname A-Rod, it's really hard to be faithful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, is that what happened?
Well, there was rumors that he was having an affair this summer a few months back, right? And then it wasn't proven or anything, but then they supposedly said they're split up, they're no longer engaged. You know what I mean? Like you said. But
how many times has J-Lo been divorced? Were they married?
No, they're engaged.
Oh, okay.
They had a 2-year engagement.
Yeah, they had those great memes going around. Like she's almost has as many rings as Tom Brady. Michael.
But she's been married a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to be that hot and divorced that many times, I'm going to go out on a limb and say she probably sucks.
That's what I say about Jennifer Aniston, too. Jennifer Aniston's, like, real cute, and she's just always breaking up with these famous people. It's like, what's going on at home there? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say J-Lo's probably hard to handle. Yeah. You know, she's got to be pretty high maintenance, and I don't know.
Halle Berry's always getting divorced. I'm like, how can you be that hot and get divorced all the time? Probably you.
I think you're right. I think that's the thing, you know. I think, there's so much expectations. Oh, how dare you talk to me that way? You know what I mean? And, you know, this diva-type attitude, perhaps. Or like you said, perhaps she's really bad in bed. You know, I would believe that with Jennifer Aniston. I really felt that way for some reason. She just looks like somebody who looks pretty. And, you know, it's like when a real big, tough guy can't fight because they've gotten away with it. Real hot chicks don't have to worry about, you know. They don't have to work that hard for it, you know. And then after a while, like any good-looking girl, like, yeah, you know, the old saying is, how many days can you eat lobster in a row before you go have a hamburger? You go have sex with some girl who's a waitress at the local strip club.
Wait, have sex with a hamburger?
Yeah, I stick my dick in a
hamburger. Either way.
I put it between two buns and some ketchup. That was the back of the days of going to strip clubs. It wasn't the strippers. It was always the cocktail waitresses.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
That's the low-hanging fruit.
I wouldn't know. I don't go to places like that. I never will.
That's because you're from Arkansas.
I wouldn't go to an Arkansas strip club.
Get out of the sticks.
I'm from Arkansas. I grew up in Kansas. Okay.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll bet that I don't know if the Arkansas strippers would be, you know.
You got to be pretty hardcore if you're going to an Arkansas strip club. I don't know.
So Arkansas is one of those states, and I'm not just saying this because I was born there, but a lot of southern states get just a bad rap because, you know, they just do. You know, they get called stupid and all this shit, and that's not the case. And you're always hearing about how racist they are and all that shit. And you see more interracial couples in the South than just about anywhere. You know, I just think that's a negative stereotype that, you know, is one of those stereotypes that's fine for everyone to have, you know. But if you have one about something else, you're an asshole. you know, but anyway.
I think you're right on that. This was a racist situation though. Did you guys hear the video? High school basketball announcer blamed N-word comments on diabetes. Yeah.
Did you see that video?
Yeah, I listened to it, and that was not diabetes.
That was racism. It was
pretty lucid right up to the N-word, right? It spiked right after effing.
Yeah, he was
pretty
lucid up until he got caught. Then he was.
What was his comment? Oh, look at these guys' knee, and look at these effing ing.
Mm-hmm. Oof. They're all taking a knee. I hope they get there. It was very lucid. He was very aware of what he was saying.
Yeah.
Oh, that was brutal.
Dude.
God. He's talking about high school girls, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a high school girls team. That's what this guy had in his heart. It's like, come on, man.
And, you know, that's the thing that makes you, like, first of all, if you have a microphone in front of you, like, every time you hear these stories about a hot mic catches somebody saying something, you're like, you know, I mean, the only thing I've ever done stupid is one time we were doing this, right, live on Facebook years ago here in the studio. And, you know, we turned to the, and that's the end of the podcast. And, of course, I turned off the recorder for the podcast. But the mic was still going. And so somebody asked me about a comic and if they ate a dick at one of my shows. I'm like, yeah, it was horrible, you know, this and that. And it went out and we're like, ooh. You know, but you know what I mean? But you're in front of a mic, you got to be careful, man.
But yeah, these professional broadcasters, they've got the headset on. The microphone's right there. Like, even if you think you're in commercial, it happened to the baseball guy last year where he called, I don't know what city he was talking about. He said it was the fag capital of the world. And he's like, it's on ESPN or something like that. It's like,
yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
That was crazy, right?
I don't know anything racial like that, but when I do these podcasts, and I used to wrestle, so I do this podcast called Wrestling Wednesday, and I talk to all these former badass wrestlers like world champions and NCAA champions, and I get kind of nervous before I do them, depending on who it is. So I was sitting there like doing these breathing exercises, and my wife edited them for me, and she put it up, and I went to look at it, and it had been up for like an hour, and you know, before the thing, she didn't cut it out where I'm sitting there like doing this shit, and I'm just like, how did you leave this in there? I look like the biggest dumbass on the planet. So anyway, like a few hundred people saw that, and I was just mortified, and I tried to forget about it, but you know, it was pretty embarrassing. I won't do the breathing exercises for you, but if I did them, you'd be like, holy shit.
delete.
I think now you have to. Yeah. Just give us like 5 seconds. I mean, you already exposed yourself to the world already, so, you know, might as well.
It's pretty silly looking.
I get that. Speaking of looking silly, airline passenger faces federal charges with possible $250,000 fine for refusing to wear a mask and urinating in the cabin.
You know, if that guy had any brains, he would sue the bar that overserved him before he got on the plane.
Yeah. It's these weekend warriors that get on, they fly, and they don't think about it. It's 6 a.m. He already had 4 shots and 3 beers or something. It said like that, waiting on his plane. But, and then you're stuck in a plane for 4 hours? Not a good move, dude.
At 6 a.m., the bars are open at 6 a.m. in the airport?
Airport bars are open, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
A little excessive to get on a plane.
I kind of had that once where I had to go to the bathroom. We were getting ready to land. And I was sitting there like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm going to end up pissing myself. And the stewardess says, you can't get up. We're on a descent. I'm like, well, I'm in my own descent. I'm about to have to put my piss descent all over the seat.
You got to use a little bag. It's in the chair back.
Yeah. Piss into the barf bag.
Yeah. That's what you got to do, bro.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever pissed in the bottle on the road? Like, you know,
for sure. Yeah. Piss bottle. Yeah.
Now, I've tried this once and it went bad. It really fucking went bad. Now, mind you, I was trying to piss into like one of those little like soda bottles. It wasn't like
you need like a Gatorade or something.
Yeah, you need a Gatorade bottle, right?
Can't use a Capri Sun.
I'm trying to stick my dick in that hole. But that's what, you know, and mind you, I wasn't driving. You know what I mean? I had a fucking piss. I'm like, so I'm sitting back. So I'm all right, let me do this. And I'm trying to put my pee hole right there up against the thing. And of course it started, And then the minute I relaxed, the pressure, and it slipped and up and fucking all over the back of the head, the guy driving and everything. It was really bad.
Rookie move.
Yeah, I won't do that again.
Yeah, all you got to do to pee on the road is pull over and open your door and act like you're looking for something and just be leaning over and just pee. I've done that 1,000 times.
Act like you're changing your tire. Yeah. You know?
Then a cop will pull over and want to help you. So you don't want to do that.
Actually, it was just yesterday. I was driving down I-95 and some guy right there on Glades Road. It's middle of the, it was like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. The guy pulled over and he ran to the garter right there and just started pissing, you know? I mean, you got to go, you got to go. And if a cop pulls you over, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to, look, I had a piss.
You got to finish. Yeah.
I got to piss. You know what I mean? I got to piss. What am I going to do? You're going to give me a ticket for urinating on the street?
Well, a lot of cops are dudes. So I've just told them, you know, I've had a cop pull up behind me when I'm doing that. And the guy didn't realize I was even looking for, pretending to look for something. Or he didn't realize I was peeing. He just thought I was looking for something. And I just volunteered the information. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, man, I had to pee. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, guys get it, you know, and that's part of the beauty of being a dude. You can just pee wherever you want.
I bet that 91-year-old cop, he's real sympathetic. It's like, I get you, bro. I get you.
That guy pulls you over while you're peeing. He's like, I said, okay, if I pee, he's like, I'm peeing now.
Yeah. He's wearing a Depends. Yeah. He's got a bulletproof Depends.
Yeah. I'm wearing my bulletproof Depends.
Did you see the picture of that guy? Like, God bless him. Good for him for still hanging in there and staying busy at 91. But he had his utility belt, like, right under his tits, you know, and he looked like, if that guy pulled me over, I would think I was getting
I would take him home. I was like, you surely should not be out right now. give me your gun.
What's this, the hospice division of the fucking LAPD?
Do you think he still has a gun?
Oh,
he has to, right? If he's a uniformed cop.
They probably don't even let him drive one of the new cop cars. They probably give him one of those, like, you know, the safety vehicles, the patrol vehicles, even without the sirens on top and shit.
Yeah, they just paint it.
They give him a toy gun,
yeah.
The orange thing on the end.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, it's been fun, gentlemen.
All right.
Nice having you here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Tim Hanlon and, of course, Tim Gaither for joining us here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's been great. And, you know, the Dope City Comedy Tour all over the place, bro. Congratulations.
That's right.
It's an awesome tour, and you guys are doing great. And where's next? You guys got a whole bunch of shit coming up.
Coming up to Wisconsin. Appleton, Wisconsin, Skyline, great club.
Yeah.
And then we hit Texas. Man, have you been to Austin yet, Tim, lately? It's going crazy over there.
Oh, yeah? How so?
Just shows popping up. The comedy club, they're closed, but they're doing shows in, like, all the venues there now. It's pretty fun.
A lot of people are heading over there to move.
I think people are kind of staying there. I don't know if they're moving there, you know? People are there, but I don't think they're going to. I mean, as soon as LA opened back up, people aren't going to be. You're not choosing Texas over LA.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you think people are going to be heading back? Because we had a lot of comics here come here, right, during this. A lot of people, Jimmy Schubert moved down here to Delray. We got New York comics coming down here. And I'm moving. I don't know if I told you, I'm moving out of Florida.
No. Where are you heading?
I'm Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah, beautiful.
You're buying 47 acres after you sell your house at close rates.
I can walk around and piss
anywhere. You're buying a 17-bedroom house.
Actually, I think the idea is we're going to buy a nice little house, and I'm going to probably come back down here next year and buy a little place. I think I'm going to find, like, in Orlando or somewhere a little more central. But yeah. to keep my residence, you know, just keep the Florida residency for tax purposes. And, you know, the wife wanted to get the hell out of here. My wife was sick of the hurricanes and sick of the heat. I'm like, honey, you know, the Miami Heat's playing pretty good, and the University of Miami Hurricanes aren't that bad either. But I'm doing it for the wife, you know.
All right.
You know, and but I'm looking forward to it. I'm like, nice.
That's a good centrally located place, sure.
You know what I mean? And but you guys have been great. And, Tim, you got anything coming up you want to plug?
My website's timgaithercomedy.com, but I would rather people go to my YouTube, youtube.com/timgaither, and check out my podcast there, The Positive Pessimist, and yeah, that's about it for me. And I'm trying to write a book right now, and I've got some dates coming up, but it'll all be on the website, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, Tavolino's, my show that we had running weekly for 4.5 years, will come back on May 12th. Nice. A month. So if you guys are back in Florida, we'll have you guys down. Bring you guys down for some shows.
Hey, yeah, I know you got to go, but are you close to? Do you have a show in Miami? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm actually going to go to Miami just to hang out with some buddies in May. So maybe we'll figure something out if I have time.
Well, dude, if you're here on May 12th and around that time, let me know.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll figure it out.
Yeah, let's do that. That's going to be our first show. It'd be great to have you down. Okay. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Safe travels to you guys. Stay well and safe.
Sure.
And to our producer, Chris, we good?
Howdy, gentlemen. We are good.
So you're saying we didn't lose feed. Everybody got to see us because we all got naked when we thought we lost a feed. We were showing each other these dicks and everything. And we're having a dick contest.
A little helicopter practice for all you guys.
Yeah, we try to see who can spin it the longest.
You know?
All right. Well, that's all we got. And by the way, no show next week because I'm going to be in Naples with Ahmed Ahmed. So we're going to be touring around a little bit. I don't know. I might be able to do it. I doubt it, but we can't do it. So unless we do it, we can't even do it Monday because we got a show at the Tin Roof in Del Rey and Monday, which is a fun venue. So
tell Ahmed I said hello. I like Ahmed.
Will do. Definitely. He's a great dude. And by the way, guys, thanks for following us. Follow us on Instagram at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show and on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram. And I've been kicked off Twitter. So my new handle is Funny Fiduciary. At Funny Fiduciary. So
why'd they kick you off Twitter?
Because this libtard trolled one of my comments. And then this is a true story. So she's like, she's saying all shit to me. I'm like responding, like, I'm sticking to the debate. She's making fun of me. I'm trying to stick to the debate. She's making fun of me. And I go, you know, you're lonely. You're this, you're fat, you're this. And I looked at her photo. I go, honey, I borrowed a line from Rich Voss. And I said, honey, I would step over your naked body to blow Freddie Mercury's corpse. And she reported me, and that was good enough for Twitter.
I think I think you deserved it.
Yeah, well, Rich Voss is like, that's what you get for stealing my fucking line, asshole.
You know what happened to me the other day? Somebody, I put like three jokes on Facebook, and then I'm scrolling through, and I see people have copied and pasted it onto their timeline and didn't even give me credit for this shit. I'm like, that's how we're playing it now, you fuckers?
Yep. Hey, by the way, while we're on the joke thief, let me say, I recently found out that somebody I know really well was telling one of my jokes in Florida.
Wow.
So I confronted the person. I said, hey, man, I heard you telling that joke. He goes, well, I've been telling it for a couple of years, so I sent the video of me at the Hard Rock Improv doing it in 2013. And I said, well, I've been doing it like 7-8 years, dude, and I've been doing it before that, so you know. And it's actually a joke Lenny Travis and I wrote together. It's a shared joke. I wrote the setup, and he wrote the punch. So I said, I've been doing it. And the guy says, well, you know, I'll be honest with you, there's about four or five other comics that are doing it. And I go, because I don't want to squeal him. I go, hey, hold on. Let me get this straight. So you're telling a joke that you know four or five other comics telling? What the fuck? You know, forget about stealing my joke. Why the fuck? You know what I mean? That just tells me that you're full of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you tell the joke anymore? No. If you guys knew four or five other comics were telling one of your jokes, what would you do? Would you keep telling that joke?
If it was my joke?
Yeah.
Good luck to the four people that are trying to do my jokes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're not getting as much stage time. Right? That's the idea, hopefully. So anyway, I thought I'd share that with you guys. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. And hopefully, Tim, we'll see you in May or something like that. And Tim, when you come back around, let me know, dude.
Word.
In Florida. Word. And good to see you guys. Take care.
Yeah.
And that's it, guys. God bless everybody. Right. See you next time.
Take Same care.
Time. Later.
Wake up!
Wake up!
I'm not psycho!
Wake up!
Wake up!